I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. On today's program, we're going to be continuing our study on a bird's eye view for me and you, the books of the New Testament. Our study today is going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians. Let me remind you that you can go to our website, lrwm.org, and you can download a transcript of this program and other programs of It's a Good Life. Or you can write to me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731, and I'll be glad to send to you, free of charge, a transcript of this program and other programs of It's a Good Life. Well, today we want to look at 1 Corinthians. Remember, we're not going in depth in these studies. What I'm trying to do is to give us a bird's eye view, something that will help us to think our way through the New Testament. Now, some of the background on this book is, first of all, the author is Paul the Apostle. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, it says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothenes, our brother. Now, it would appear that possibly Sothenes might have been a scribe whom Paul used to pen down these words. And in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now, I would remind you that although this letter was written to the Corinthian believers at Corinth, in verse 2 of chapter 1, and talks about to the church of God and to every place that call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, it's not only written to those believers at Corinth, but I believe it's written to all of us who name Jesus Christ as Savior. And this would point me into the direction of understanding that as this book is written to us, we can look to this book as instruction in helping us to understand how that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Paul had originally preached the gospel in Corinth and converted many of those who received this letter. The date of the writing of this letter was approximately 57 A.D. The setting of the book is, we understand that Paul had received information about the situation in Corinth according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 11 through 21. And he had received a letter from a congregation, this congregation, asking certain questions. And he planned to visit these people, but wanted them to change some attitudes and relationships before he arrived so he wouldn't have to deal harshly with them. And there were a lot of problems here in this church at Corinth, so therefore Paul wanted these things straightened out before he got there. And there's probably several reasons that he wanted everything straightened out. And of course, we want to realize, we need to realize that Paul wanted these things straightened out for the glory of God. He wanted to help these believers to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, and it would also free up Paul to go out and win other souls to help this church to grow and help this church within itself to win souls, to bring others into a saving knowledge of Jesus. Now, the key verses here, I believe, are 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. It says there, first of all, it says there in these verses that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. In other words, don't be puffed up, thinking yourself more highly than you should, because all things are of the Lord. We should bring honor and glory to the Lord, and remember, we serve him. We are not to serve ourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, we can look at those key verses as well. And it says there, And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. In other words, he couldn't speak to them as spiritual people, but as fleshly people, just as someone who has not been saved. He says, I'm speaking to you even as unto babes in Christ. In other words, those people who have not grown in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They're not paying attention. It reminds me of things going on in our own local churches that we see today. People not paying attention, not growing in the Lord. Paul goes on to say, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. In other words, I've babied you along and I haven't given you strong food yet. For hitherto you were not able to bear it. You couldn't absorb it, he's saying. You don't give a baby a steak. You know that as well as I do. As we see babies grow and we have to give them milk, they would choke. You give that baby milk, and that's what Paul's trying to get across to these people at Corinth. He says, I want to be able to feed you with the meat of the Word. I want you to get into the Word, but you haven't been able to bear it as of yet. You can't understand it to the point of taking it in. And he says, neither yet now are ye able. In verse 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, For ye are yet carnal. There's that word carnal again. You're fleshly, he says. You're acting like unsaved people. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? He says, here's proofs that you haven't grown and you're acting just like unsaved people. You're envying. You want something that somebody else has. There's strife, there's arguing and quarreling and divisions. And he says, are ye not yet carnal and walk as men or as the unsaved of this world? I ask you today, does that sound familiar? And that's some of the background on the book of 1 Corinthians. Now the purpose of this book is to cover certain problems, and we've already talked about that. There were problems within this church, and Paul wanted to deal with some of the problems that existed in the church, and central to all their problems was their living and glorying in the flesh and not in the Spirit. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 29 through 31, and we've already read that. They were walking in the flesh. They were not doing the things of God. And then we see that another purpose for the writing of this book is, since there were problems needing correction, the Corinthian believers needed to understand the practical reality of love. They need to be reminded of God, the God of love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9, it says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end. In other words, He's going to keep you to the end. And the end is when He comes back for us in the clouds. Paul goes on to say that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is love. And we know that. God loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die for us on the cross, according to John 3:16. He sent His Son that we could be saved and go to heaven. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. I don't think I would be doing any disservice to this verse if I would say that it is the love of God, the power of God, the love of God. We're saved by the love of God. Without His love, no one would go to heaven. But He loves us, and He wants all people to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Preachers are to exhibit this love. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 talks about this, that Paul didn't come to them with excellency of speech. He didn't come to them with enticing words, but he came preaching Jesus Christ. Now, we may not be able to speak plain. We may be stumbling and stammering, but it's the Word of God that gets the job done. It's the love of Christ that is shown through us as we present the Word of God that people look at. They see the love of God. When we really love people, and want them to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, people see that and they respond in a positive manner. We see Jesus. There is no greater love that has ever been shown for man than by the man, Jesus Christ. He laid down his life. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 through 8, it says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven," that's old sin, "that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened," in other words, without sin. "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Paul's telling these people that they are saved by the sacrifice of Christ. And could we do less than give ourselves to Him? Could we do less than living for Him, serving Him, turning to Him and saying, "Lord, forgive me for the sin that's in my life. Cleanse me of that sin so that I can be used of You." The Bible says that we are to walk in the Spirit and the truth of God. It says that we are made clean through the Word, and that one time someone asked Christ, "What is truth?" And Christ said, "I am truth." He said, "I've been here. I've been on earth." And the Bible says that Christ is the truth, the way, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. So we see it was the love of Christ, and it is the love of Christ that helps us, that leads us to the cross, that we see Christ hanging on that cross, and it was love that sent Him there. Do you love Him today? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Do you have the reality of love in your heart today? You can know Him today by asking Him to come into your heart. "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive You as my Savior. Save me so I can go to heaven." If you'll ask the Lord to save you today, He'll save you. Come to Him. Come to the cross of Calvary and see Him there. But I've got news for you. He's no longer there. He's risen from the dead. And He's waiting for you to give you that life that He has today. He wants you to come to a saving knowledge. And if you are saved and you're not living for Him, let me remind you that He cleanses from all sin if we confess that sin. Confess that sin today, and not for salvation, but because you are saved, you love Him, and you want to serve Him today. Well, there's so many more things that we could talk about in the book of 1 Corinthians. We haven't touched the hem of the garment. That God wants you to know that He does love you, and that Paul's message here to these Corinthian believers is to grow up, get into the Word of God, start eating the Word of God, grow, mature, get involved in your local church. Let God lead you. Let God help you to help others come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's been good being with you today, and let me invite you to tune in this next week, this same time next week, to this program, It's a Good Life. Until that time, may the Lord bless you richly. Is my prayer.